we're a few minutes, a few seconds ahead on our clock back there. But I just want to let all of you parents know that the kids in our Sunday school have started tonight. Kids in the kindergarten through the sixth grade, you can head over to the kids' Regis room right now if you're involved in the kids' Christmas program, because, excuse me, they're going to be practicing starting tonight all the way up through to our Christmas program. So on Wednesday evenings will be play practice for our Sunday school program. And also a reminder to all of you parents that have children that are over there, when service is over, you have to go pick your child up, okay? They don't deliver. It's not like Amazon. It's not like Pizza Hut either. Or all those different food delivery services now. You have to actually go claim your child. You should have a claim ticket, similar to what you get at a laundromat. I'm just kidding. So, if you are a guest of ours, we want to connect with you. And if you're worshiping in person, we have our kiosk out there. And just a few points of information you could just fill out. And we have a small gift for you. And if you're online, you can go to the Connect CGC, the bit.ly link there. We also have online giving options that you can go to our website. You could give through the Church Center app, or you can take and mail it in, or you can give in person here. We have the offering boxes out there. And thank you, Brother Phil, for getting those put up. And so also we have coming up, we have a grief share and a class that'll be starting, and Brother Ben Thompson is going to come share some details on that with you at this time. Brother Ben?
Thank you, Pastor. Well, there's a lot of us in this church over the course of the last few years that have found ourselves on a road that none of us wanted to travel. And we didn't choose it, but yet here we are. And the good news is that we do not have to travel it alone. I tried. It's a tough road. But I'm thankful for a church, for the vision, and for tools to help us get through. Personally, I'm thankful for Stephen Johannes Gutenberg. All that many years ago, put together a printing press, and the first book he printed was the Bible. I've actually seen one. But I immersed myself in that to start off with, just reading a lot of books. I need to get through this. I need to get through this for my kids. I need to get through this for my grandkids. Otherwise, they lose both their parents. So the good news is, in all that searching and all that digging, we came across a program called Grief Share. It's 13 lessons. We'll be starting on Wednesday nights and a couple of weeks in October. October 4th will be our first meeting. We'll be meeting starting right at 7 o'clock in the library across the hall, right at 7 o'clock. It'll take us about an hour and a half to get through it. If you have kids and you need to leave and you need to get out early, that's fine. But how it's going to work, we'll start, we'll kind of have a little welcome session. After the first week, there will be some homework that we will discuss. Yes, I'm a college teacher. No, I'm not going to grade your homework. I've got enough homework to grade. But we'll be discussing it and hopefully answering some questions and getting through this. After that, there will be a 30-minute video, and then after the video, there will be a discussion on the video topic. Having previewed the videos, I've found them to right on track with a lot of the questions, a lot of the frustrations, a lot of the hurts and stuff that I went through. I'm a little over a year down the road, and I'm not 100% out of the tunnel yet, but I can see the light. And so there is hope. There is hope. So that's kind of the gist of it. For church members, there is a book that you will get. To church members, there's not a cost. We have about 15 books, 15 seats, and I'm thinking we're going to fill this up. This will be open to the public, but I'm thinking this first time we're probably going to fill it up with church people before we advertise it elsewhere. So if you see me or see Lori, the greeter out there, if you don't know who Lori Merkus is, see one of us, you should be able to log into the church app and sign up. That is up to last couple of days. That has been up. So you can go in there and you can sign up. Or you can see Lori or myself, and we can get you signed up as well. And, again, I wish we weren't on this road, but I'm thankful to go to a church and a pastoral staff and people that are willing to help us get through it. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Ben. Also, this Saturday, we have a family share and prayer time. Begins at 5 p.m. And Brother Kirby Waters and Sister Brittany Waters, if they could stand. In case you don't know who Kirby and Brittany are. If you have any questions, you can feel free to... Boy, that was fast. Feel free to chat with them after church. And then also coming up on October 13th through the 15th, we're doing something a little different that we have never done of this sort in a long time. But we have a family focus weekend. I, as a pastor here, I've met with our pastoral staff. We meet regularly. And I felt that that we needed to have something to assist our families. There's so much pressures that's being placed on families today. So we have a special weekend, and Brother and Sister Dowdy from Mattoon, Illinois, will be ministering. And Friday, October 13th, if we could just make sure we set this weekend aside. If you could, if you're tempted to go out of town that weekend, if you could just hang on, set this weekend aside, October 13th, there'll be a special men's and ladies sessions. There'll be split sessions. The men will have one session. Ladies will be in another session. Then October 14th, which will be Saturday a.m., we're having a marriage session, which is open to all of our married couples or and such. So if you have any questions on any of that, maybe you're going to be getting married. It might be a good thing for you. You can check with Pastor Peter. He's on vacation right now. He's in Italy. Can you believe that? Lucky dog. But but anyway, and then Saturday, the p.m. of October 14th, we're going to have a family night here. So all of the families will be welcome here, and they're going to have some fire, a couple different fires outside and some things going on. And then Sunday, October 15th, Brother Dowdy will be ministering in our 11 a.m. service. So that's coming up October 13th through the 15th. So if you have any questions on that, you can feel free to check with myself or you can check with Pastor Peter when he gets back into town. So with that, let's all stand. We are excited tonight. We're going to have a little bit different of a service. And it's going to be more of a teaching seminar type. Sister Nicole Solberg is going to be speaking. And many of you know we've had a number of losses here at Calvary over the last year and a half. And just to let you know, Brother Rico Farrell, his father did pass away on Sunday morning, so continue to remember Brother Rico, his family, Sister Julia, as they go through the process of planning the funeral and such. His the funeral will be in Illinois. His dad is originally from Illinois, and we can get those details to you as we get those. But let's pray. We have also our general conference is going on right now in Indianapolis, Indiana. And there's elections that are going on for national positions, national offices, that assistant superintendents and all kinds of other different things. So continue to remember to pray for those, because those are very vitally important. And those positions affect all of us, not just here in the States, but this is worldwide. So let's go before the Lord in prayer tonight. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for, Lord, you had such a beautiful day today. Thank you for this service. I thank you for my brothers, my sisters, all of those that are here tonight. I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon us. I pray, God, that you would touch all of the needs, all of the sick families and individuals in the church that are struggling with various health issues. I pray, Lord, also for Brother Rico, Sister Julia Farrell, Lord, as you would keep your hand upon them, Lord, as they go through this difficult time of the death of his father and all of the plans and everything that goes in with that. Lord, I pray, God, that your hand would be upon Sister Nicole tonight as she ministers to us and leads us through this sessions on how to work and deal with the grief of losing a loved one. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you in the name of Jesus. We're going to have Brother Dan is going to lead us in some worship. God bless you. You can feel free to come to the front or sit down, whatever you feel comfortable doing. God bless.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you. Forgive me, but I was thinking before service, Brittany brought me something that my wife had asked for. And when Brittany came here, she was expecting to give that away. And there's something wonderful when you look across, and this isn't a bad thing, but I look and I see our pastor here, Brother Roy Grant. There's something good about that. Our pastor's here. I see Brother Caskey. I love Brother Caskey. I see Brother Phil. I see others. And you know, if they're not here, we continue on. But folks, if Jesus isn't here, nothing matters. We came expecting, I hope, I have. We come expecting something from God. And I don't say that just because I'm up here. You know, forgive me. But Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Let's sing from our hearts to him. Verse 2. at the center of it all. And Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you. Worship him. Hallelujah. And when I've lost my direction, you're the compass for my way. You're the fire and light when nights are long and cold. In sadness, you are the laughter that shatters all my center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. And Jesus, you're the center. You are why I find pleasure in the simple things in life. You're the music in the meadows and the streets. The voices of the children, my family and my home. You're the source and finish of my heart. Worship the Lord just a moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, the most beautiful name. When I speak your name, I speak your name, darkness, and it has no wonderful name of all names. Jesus, the only name that brings free and hope. When I speak your when I speak your name,
Praise the Lord again, church. We are so excited. We have two young men here tonight that are with us, Joshua and Arcelles, that are from Janesville, and they're going to be getting baptized. And Brother Josh Stone is teaching them a Bible study, so make sure you meet them and greet them and welcome them. So, also, it's so great to have Sister Nicole Solberg. And she is going to take and share some very valuable and important information with us tonight. So God bless you, Sister Nicole.
You guys can be seated. I'll just do a little background for those of you who don't know me very well. I'm an RN, but I've also been working at a Grace since 2011, so hospice is something that I know very, very well. And during the time that we were in South Carolina, I primarily did pediatric hospice and was kind of more in the role of education. And then when I came back to Madison, I now am in education and quality at a Grace, so education's kind of part of what I do for hospice. And then recently joined our ethics committee at a Grace, so handling difficult situations that may come up with life or death or things that families are struggling with. I'm really nervous tonight, so pray for me. But hospice is not just my job. It's my burden, and it's my passion, it's my ministry. And I feel very honored when families choose us to be with them during a very intimate, very emotional time in their lives. So as I walk through this, I'm going to just kind of talk through what does grief look like. So if you're struggling with grief, grief is a loss of something. This is what replaces when we lose something or someone. And then towards the end, I'll go through how can we support somebody that is going through the loss of a loved one. Grief is defined as a strong, sometimes overwhelming emotion for people, regardless of whether their sadness stems from the loss of a loved one, a terminal diagnosis they have received, or someone they love has received, and grief can occur with the loss of something. So grief starts from the beginning of that diagnosis or the beginning of that news. It starts with, what is going to happen? What am I going to miss out on? My goodness, I'm not going to be here for X, Y, and Z. So it starts that process right away of grief. As I'm talking, you'll hear me refer to our loved ones. Those are, for lack of a better term, typically I would say patient, but I will say loved one for us. That those are the people that we have lost. Those are the people who have died, however that may have been. The start of realizing the loss that is going to occur and that our goals and plans are not going to happen. And I know it doesn't make it easy for me to say this, that God does have a different plan. And that plan doesn't always feel good, and it doesn't always make sense, and it may never make sense, and we may never understand. And it doesn't make it better to say, oh, God's plan. I know that, because we struggle. The grief is still there. The loss is still there. But it's in this time that we find the faith in God's sovereignty. It takes so much more faith to believe that he knows what he's doing than to believe that God can heal somebody. Because we still have to believe that he's God. If he heals somebody, it's easy to believe. It's easy to worship him. It's easy to feel good about what's happening. But when we don't understand and that loss still occurs, it's so much harder. So in that, and the songs were perfect tonight, that God is the center of it. And as I was putting this together, a lot of the resources that we use at A Grace are not biblically centered or God-centered. And as I was doing this and thinking about the resources, I was like, I can't even use our resources because ultimately we can't get through these things in life without God. It's very important to me that we have that. And as we are in that moment of grief and loss, the most important thing that we can do is to draw close to God. I'm going to share a story in the Bible, an event that took place in Habakkuk. Habakkuk 1:2, it says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Habakkuk is going to God right away in the first part of this word, and he's saying, God, why aren't you listening to me? I am on my knees, and I am begging you to hear what I am saying. He's grieving over Israel's choices. He's grieving over their decision to leave God. And he's saying, why aren't you doing something? Don't you see what is happening? Why haven't you done something? He wants God to do something, but what he wants God to do is what he thinks God should do. Sometimes God's answer doesn't match our answer. And God's answer in Habakkuk didn't match God's plan. So God has another plan because God sees the bigger picture and what he wants the end to look like. Habakkuk's ideas and expectations of God collided with his circumstances and the outcome. Because he expected something. Sometimes we expect that. And sometimes grief can be so much harder if we don't get what we think God's going to do. Throughout Habakkuk, you see this conversation happening between him and God. And each time Habakkuk is struggling with God's response and wondering, questioning what God is doing, he even questions, is God good? Is God sovereign? And it's okay. It's okay to ask those questions. It's okay to ask God, are you really good? Do you really hear me? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you even care about what I'm saying? It's okay. And in Habakkuk 1, 3, 4 is where we see those questionings asking. Why am I struggling with this diagnosis? Why aren't you healing me? Why aren't you taking this away? Or why did that person away from me? And then we have to just trust that God has that plan. We often misquote or think about 1 John 5:14, and it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So according to his will, sometimes what we ask him doesn't fall in line with what he wants. And so we have to start to change our thought process and start moving down that thought or that vein that God is in. And it feels upside down. It does. Right. And Habakkuk didn't get the answer he wanted, and the outcome wasn't what he wanted it to be. And he says it. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So Habakkuk acknowledged. He acknowledged his grief. He acknowledged the loss, and he said, I'm still going to worship God. I'm still going to move forward. And whatever the outcome, we have the confidence that God is God. We will still have the human emotions that come with the unexpected outcome of death or loss. Grief is okay. Sadness is okay. Anger is okay. Grief hurts and is necessary for us to heal. It's not what we want to go through. Some of us want to ignore it. Love is an action. It's something we do every day towards our loved ones, towards our friends. And we show that towards somebody we have strong feelings for. So when that person dies and they leave us, there's an emptiness. There's nowhere for that love, that action to go, and what replaces it is grief, and that grief never goes away. You learn how to deal with it. You learn how to cope with it, and there's a season for everything. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. So even in the Bible, we see that. There's a time for everything. So in that, I'm going to go into the components of grief that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross came up with for us as we are grieving and those emotions that we are feeling. There's five of them. So we have denial, we have anger, we have bargaining, we have depression, and we have acceptance. There is no order. I give those that way, but there's no right or wrong way of going through these processes. And some are going to come more than another. You might get over one a lot faster than another, and another one might hang on a lot longer than you expected. Grief will come in waves and is what happens as we adapt to the fact that our loved one may die or has died. Grief will change over time and look different as we accept the loss. Sometimes we expect others to grieve a certain way. And as Pastor mentioned, we've had a few deaths over the last couple years, whether within our own congregation or family members. But throughout my life, and even just being in hospice, I've watched people grieve, and everybody grieves differently. And that's okay, and we have to take those expectations off of our friends, off of our loved ones. There's no time frames that we should be putting on people because we all grieve differently. Struggling or being angry at God doesn't make you unfaithful or a bad person. So in that not, or the grief not being wrong, that's not wrong either. There is no right or wrong way. I already went ahead in my notes there. Let's look at grief in detail. I'm going to reference C.S. Lewis, A Grief Observed. If you've not heard of it, he wrote this 10 days after his wife's death. And the emotions and the things that he writes in it are very real, but it's very God-centered. Denial, feelings of shock, terror, disbelief, you're afraid, what's going to happen? What am I going to do? How am I going to get through this? C.S. Lewis says, no one ever told me that grief felt so much like fear. This isn't happening. I know I heard the doctor wrong. God wouldn't allow this to happen. We struggle with the loss and begin to deny the diagnosis that our loved one has received, or ourselves. That's hard. It's hard to hear that. For Christians, this is often the hardest. We think if we ignore or we deny what is happening and claim faith, it will all go away. And then our hearts and minds struggle when the death occurs because we didn't get that outcome. It is possible to hold on to faith and believe that God will heal and acknowledge what the diagnosis is. We do ourselves a disservice by ignoring what the physical is showing us and always responding with, I am not accepting the diagnosis. God will heal you or God will heal my loved one. That's appropriate. It's appropriate to have faith. It's appropriate to believe that. But in that also, we need to acknowledge what is happening. As a church body, when we do not deny what is happening, we can pray candidly for our loved ones and work through the process with them. When we deal with denial, we are honest with ourselves. We're honest with those around us. We become vulnerable. We become vulnerable with us, with the people we live with. We become vulnerable with God because we're saying, God, I see what is happening, and I trust you, whatever that might be, but I'm still going to believe that you heal. Really hear, when you are talking to your doctor, when you're talking to your loved ones, really hear what they are saying. It's hard. When you get that diagnosis thrown at you or you get that news that somebody has died, there are so many emotions and so many thoughts, and you don't hear what is being said. So ask questions again. Hear it so that you don't deny it. Write it down so you can go back and look at it. And when you start to worry about how am I going to process this, I can look at it and figure it out. Write it out and ask yourself, do I fully understand what is happening? Do I understand what just happened? The next one is anger. It's okay to be angry, like I said earlier. Life not being what you expected it to be, watching your loved one in pain, or your children attempt to cope with the loss of a parent or a grandparent is angering. It hurts. It's not easy. We don't know what to do. We want to fix it. Anger is natural, and if not dealt with, can turn into resentment. So we want to be careful. And it can cause us to blame others or take anger out on others. We'll have thoughts like, they're not doing enough. Why would someone say that? No one cares. I feel alone. This is God's fault. He could have healed them. If he isn't going to answer my prayers, what is the sense of praying? We may find ourselves with these questions, and we may find ourselves angry at those around us, snapping at them or ignoring them or hiding away from them. It's okay. It's okay to feel that way, but we want to keep it in check. We want to make sure that we are not affecting others and we are not deflecting our pain on them. Find a healthy way to cope with that anger, going for a walk, exercising, reading God's word, listening to worship music, or cleaning. My husband kind of chuckled at that one because that's my coping mechanism. He usually knows something's wrong when I'm running around the house cleaning really, really good. Find someone that you can healthily vent to. And I say healthy because you can get stuck in a rut too. So when we're venting, be careful what we're venting. And when you are listening to somebody vent, listen to them and encourage them. Don't continue to allow them to walk in that. Bargaining. In this stage, we find ourselves wishing for a different outcome. We might find ourselves making promises to God in exchange for healing. We might focus on our actions being the cause of why God didn't heal our loved one. I didn't have enough faith. I must not be a strong Christian. He didn't answer my prayer. I did something wrong, and now I'm suffering for my sin. If only I had made them or myself go to the doctor sooner. If only I had eaten a certain way. The list of onlys can go on and on and on. And they can become our only focus that we never get through and we never remember the good parts. Dealing with bargaining, God is in control. And we do not have to bargain our way to healing for ourselves or for our loved ones. We cannot change what has happened, but we can cry out to God to help us. And that is one of the most, like I said in the beginning, one of the most beautiful things that we have as Christians is when we go through this, we have God. We don't go through things that aren't different than the world does. We just do it with God. And that's the beauty of it. We can cry out to him like Habakkuk did. And we have to stop, though, and listen to him and allow him to help us. C.S. Lewis says, I have gradually been coming to feel that the door is no longer shut and bolted. Was it my own frantic need that slammed it in my face? The time when there is nothing at all in your soul except a cry for help. Maybe just the time when God can't give it. You are like the drowning man who can't be helped because he clutches and he grabs. Perhaps your own reiterated cries deafen you to the voice you hope to hear. So pause and listen for God's voice, whether that's through your friends or through God. Depression. C.S. Lewis says, you tell me, she goes on, but my heart and body are crying out, come back, come back. But I know this is impossible. I know the thing I want is exactly the thing I can never get. The old life, the jokes, the arguments, the tiny heartbreaking commonplace, on any view, whatever to say she is dead is to say all that is gone. It is part of the past, and the past is the past, and that is what time means. And time itself is no more name for death, or is one more name for death. And heaven itself is a state where the former things have passed away. Here we are in deep sadness. Here's where he's at. He's accepted it, but he's incredibly heartbroken and sad. Be careful that during these moments that we're not pushing ourselves away from our loved ones, from the people around us. Don't feel guilty for going to family functions and enjoying life without your loved one here. It's okay. We have to move forward. Day-to-day living might become difficult, and we can start to isolate ourselves. Just because somebody's at that family function, just because somebody's life is going forward, doesn't mean that it's not going forward with some pain and some difficulty. Don't avoid the things that remind you of them. I hope it's okay that I share this. But Victoria, before Kate was up here this morning or tonight, I was really glad that you shared this. But their anniversary, their 12th year anniversary, was after Ben had passed. And she said she got up at 6 o'clock in the morning because 12 years ago she had gotten up at 6 o'clock in the morning and began to curl her hair because that's what Ben had asked. And she was having difficulty because the humidity kept pulling it out. But in that moment, in that grief, in that loss of, I don't have Ben here to celebrate our anniversary, but I'm going to remember him with curling my hair, with thinking about that. And I'm going to share that with my kids, and I'm going to walk forward in this day. And that's beautiful, because that's how we can cope and move forward in a healthy way with our families. Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as to be of a contrite spirit." God is there. He's drawing near to us. Dealing with depression, even when it's hard, don't alienate yourself, like I said. You have to be around others. Force yourself into group functions and surround yourself with people who can comfort you with their presence. Don't feel like you have to entertain anybody. Don't feel like you have to say anything. Just sit there and observe and enjoy. Find ways to celebrate your loved one's life in the everyday and on holidays. This was prior to a patient of mine dying, and I had the honor of the family asking me to be a part of that circle, because I had been taking care of her for about 2 weeks on the inpatient unit before she died. And they all created this circle around her. There is about 20 family members in this room. Thankfully, they had the larger room. And I felt kind of like an outsider, a bystander, but I was so glad I got to be a part of it. And they passed around a photo album of them with their grandmother or their mother or their sister or their wife. And each one of them found a picture. And they shared their memory of that picture. They shared their story. So they that grandmother was hearing these memories, hearing the joy in that. And that's what we want to do. That's what we do in our family with my grandmother. We remember those recipes that she would give us, or those when she would watch my kids, my girls, when they were little, she'd send them home with their diapers on, and their day of how their day went was written on the diaper. So that's something I hang on to. When I hopefully one day have grandchildren, I will be sending them home. I have Maddie here with me today. I will be sending your children home with notes on their diapers, because I want to keep that memory of my grandmother alive for my children. Share them as often as you can. It's okay to be alone and work through your feelings, but make sure you are not staying there. And in those moments, meditate on God's word and his promises. Finally, there's the acceptance. Notice I didn't say grief goes away, because it doesn't. It's accepting where you are. It's accepting that this is what it is. John 16:22, "And ye know therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Grieving your loved one's death is not easy, and it is hard and feels like it will never get easier. You wonder if grief will ever go away. But you learn how to accept it, you learn how to lean on God, and you find a new normal in grief. C.S. Lewis compares death to amputation. The loss of a loved one is like the loss of a limb, getting over it too soon. But the words are ambiguous. To say the patient is getting over it after an operation for appendicitis is one thing. After he had lost his leg off is quite another. Getting over it isn't a moment in time, and it doesn't happen. When the moments of life that you expected to have your loved one with you, your 50th wedding anniversary, the birth of your first grandchild or great-grandchild, the day your daughter gets married, or the day that your son asks the love of his life to marry him, you will grieve in these moments, and you will accept that God has a plan. And in it, there is beauty and comfort in him. Acceptance doesn't make sense. But as Christians, we have the promise that he will give us peace. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." How do we grieve together? This is often uncomfortable. It's hard. It's, you know, Bishop used to say, one in one dies. We will all die. Just a matter of when we will die or how we will die. And it's ironic to me that death is so uncomfortable for humans when this is going to happen to us. So sometimes just getting comfortable with it, or being okay with being uncomfortable when we're around our loved ones or our friends that have lost somebody. Always tell the truth. Always. Speaking with honesty, love, and wisdom. So when we speak truth, we need to be patient. We need to follow through carefully. Do not belittle the problem or minimize its seriousness for false reassurance of fear of letting go of faith. So in other words, just because somebody may have lost their spouse they had for 50 years and then somebody lost their spouse they had for a year, or maybe I just lost my brother, don't minimize somebody's loss. Don't compare the losses. We can't do that. Your loss is your loss, and we need to be careful. The other thing is don't give false reassurance for fear of giving up faith. We can be aware. We can know what is happening and hang on to faith. When we face reality and do it with grace and wisdom, we open up the conversation to ministering. We get a chance to hold on to faith. Don't focus on a time frame. When you're talking to your loved ones or your friends, oftentimes our doctors will give us a diagnosis. For hospice, usually those that come on with us are given 6 months or less. Obviously, we don't know. We're not God. We can only say this is what is there. We don't want to focus on that. Focus on life. Focus on the things that are around you. They are doing their best to give you a time frame, but they don't know. It could be longer. It could be shorter. But I do know it can be full of beautiful and positive moments, and at times pain, anxiety, and disappointment, no matter how long or how short that time frame is. Listen, it's okay not to have anything to say. I will tell you, I have heard some of the most awful things come out of people's mouth after somebody has died. Be careful with what you say. If you don't have anything to say or you're not sure what to say, just shut it. Like, don't say anything. Because those words that you speak to them do not go away. They come back in moments. It's better not to say anything. Don't be a Job's friend. Don't be that friend that brings that up. There's a worksheet up here of grief or an outline. And it says, skip religious platitudes. Yes, all things work together for good for those who love God. And yet a grieving person likely won't find this comforting. Cancer is painful no matter how you convince you of God's sovereignty. So yes, I did bring that forward. But we have to remember that that's not the response we need to give to that person in that moment of grief. We need to love them. We need to hold them. We need to encourage them. Take this time to really see our loved ones in the terminal place they are in and their families in their moment of grief. Because when we see where they are is when we can help them. We can't help them if we don't know what is happening. Respond to needs. We are really, really good about being there for people when they're sick. We have those trains, food trains. We've got, I don't know if it's called a food train, meal train, whatever. Or being there for them in that moment. But when death happens, it's hard to have that conversation, like I said earlier. It's hard. What do I say to them? How do I help them? What do they need from me? They've got a freezer full of groceries. They've got a kitchen or a fridge full of meals that people have made. Take the time to look at what they need and figure it out. Sometimes they're not going to ask, or they might just say something just to, so you'll leave them alone and stop asking them for what they need. Think about things like when you go to their home and their fridge is full of food. Take that food home and break it up for them. I saw my sister doing this for her son and daughter-in-law. She was breaking the food up into individual servings and sending it home with them so that they could freeze it and have it for them. Drop off groceries. Sometimes it's taking them out of their house for dinner instead of them eating dinner in their home. Sometimes it's you sitting with their children so they can just sleep, because they don't get to sleep. As I mentioned earlier, if we acknowledge that our loved ones, we have this thought in our mind that if we acknowledge that our loved ones have a terminal diagnosis, we must let go of faith and believing for a miracle. One doesn't negate the other. We can have both. But a miracle can't happen until we acknowledge there's a need that needs a miracle, or there's a situation that I cannot get through without the supernatural strength of God. So while spending time with your family, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind that we can acknowledge where they are and we can support them. Try to understand where they are sitting financially, mentally, and family needs, whether there's young children or family out of town. Don't let our friends and families feel abandoned. It is so easy to go about our routine and forget to reach out. I'm guilty of it. I'll get a card, my husband can attest to this, and then I fill it out and it sits for months. I actually have some now that I found that, so some of you who might be getting a card a year later, I apologize. It never made it in the mailbox. It was stamped and addressed and never made it. So I'm still going to send it because I think it's important that they know that you were thinking of them. But get that out there. Call them. It may seem like an odd time, or maybe you don't really have anything to say, but they're on your mind. Let them know that they're on your mind. That's going to feel good for them. It's going to help them to feel like they needed that support that they need. Our friends and family appear to be coping well when we see them, and we depend on God to be their sole support. But he's given each of us a village to support and help. So it's important that we're reaching out. We can fall into a spot of not knowing what to do or just taking a few minutes to reach out. Which one will you choose? We can spend a few minutes scrolling on our phone, or we can spend a few minutes sending a little message. Start with the small things to let them know you're thinking about them. Don't overcommit yourself. Sometimes this will happen, and I'm, again, guilty of it. I can promise something, and then I can't follow through. And it might be something that just was outside of my time frame and what I was able to do. And that really hurts the person on the other end. It may not affect me so much, but that person that I didn't follow through on feels hurt, feels neglected, feels like I didn't care or they weren't important enough for me to remember. Be available and make visits when you can and when they are accepting. Oftentimes, short, frequent visits are better. So 15, 20 minutes and then leave. Don't stay too long. Read the room as well. If families are feeling overwhelmed, start a sign-up genius for them, for people to sign up when they can come and see them. The calendar can be shared, and it's easy for people to know when somebody's coming or not coming, and we make sure we're surrounding our families, but also make sure that they have the time alone that they need. Couple more things. Stay away from giving medical advice. This one is so hard to do for a lot of us because we have our own experiences and we share them. It's kind of like moms who share their labor and delivery stories. We all have a story. We want to share it. And it's the same thing with diagnoses and especially terminal diagnoses, or when we hear that somebody had a miracle happen. Oh, I prayed this way. I did this. I did that. And it's like, well, you could do all those things and it may not work for that person. Or I went to this and I was able to get this and it helped me live longer. Or I took this out of my diet. Or maybe you should talk to your doctor about that. That can feel very overwhelming. Most of the time, they don't even know what they're doing right now with the diagnoses they've been given, let alone all these other things that you're throwing at them. Not only that, a lot of natural medications supplements can interfere with medications that they're taking. So we want to be careful, and if we do give them a recommendation, encourage them to talk to their doctor so that we can make sure that they're working together on those things. Always, always, always hold on to faith. Never, ever let go of that. In my field, a lot of times I will hear coworkers of mine, they'll say to me, Why did you just tell them to hang on to faith? They're dying. And I'm like, well, yeah, they are, but we still have a God, and we still believe that God can heal. And I tell them that, and they look at it, of course, like I'm crazy. but no matter how bleak the situation is, we know who God is, and we know that he can heal, and we know that he can do what he needs to do. It's so much easier, like I said, to have faith that he can heal than to bring us through what we're dealing with. In the end, we also want to make sure we're providing spiritual support. This is not spiritual support that their pastor would provide. But having a relationship with God is vital for a living or a dying person. So we want to make sure that we're supporting them. We're giving them that, whether it's reading a Bible or praying or singing to them, making sure that they know that they are spiritually surrounded. No judgments, and share God's love and presence in the loving affirmation and in prayer. You may not be able to understand what someone is going through, but you can acknowledge that you see what they're going through. And I just want to encourage each of you, as you look around and you see those that have lost somebody, or maybe yourself, you're dealing with a terminal diagnosis, take some time if you feel like you need more help than just a brief obviously, this is just an overview, as Pastor said. I am not getting into the nitty-gritty. There is so much more with grief. And Ben and Lori are going to get into some of that. And even then, there's more that will follow. And if you need support, there is the Christian Counseling Center, and they do provide grief support, and they do a phenomenal job, and it is biblically based as well. But up front here, there are some worksheets. I call them worksheets, but they're really just guides. This one is for people who are supporting those who have lost somebody. And then there's two more up there. I don't know if I grabbed them for me, but there's two more. Here it is. They kind of look like this. And these are for those who have lost somebody. And one is 10 things you should know about grief. And the other one is specifically to losing a spouse. So take them, don't take them, whatever you choose to do. But thank you for letting me share this with you guys and share a little bit of what I do on a daily basis and what I kind of have a heart for.
Thank you, Sister Nicole. And if we could just stand. And at this time, I'm just going to go ahead and let Brother Josh take his two young men out. And you can go ahead and get ready for baptism. And if there's anyone from the Janesville church that would like to take and join with that, or any other family, friends, feel free to. And as Sister Nicole said, down here in the front, we have some handouts. And I want to encourage many of you, if just take one. If you're going to take them as a family unit, just take one per family so there's enough to go around. But we all struggle. We all know of people that have lost. We've had this within our own congregation, but we work with people. We have family. We have friends. We have neighbors that have all struggled through and suffered with losses and terminal illnesses and things like this. And I just want to encourage you to take this information home with you. Read it, study it. It's I'm not going to say it's as important as studying scripture, okay? But sometimes just saying the right thing at the right time can open up a whole avenue to give you an insight or a door into the life of someone who you normally wouldn't be able to take and get there. And it's not like you go around looking for vulnerable people, but when people suffer, when they have a loss in their life and they're suffering, they're much more apt to be able to talk about that or open up to you. And it's very important that we respond in the right manner. So we're just going to close this out. Sister Sarah, just go ahead and lead us in worship, and we're just going to sing. If you want to come and pray, you can feel free to come and pray. If you'd like to come down and get a handout, come down and get a handout. But remember, if your children are over in the Sunday school side of the building, you have to go pick them up. They will not deliver them. So God bless you, and thank you so very much again, Sister Nicole, for sharing with us, and thank you for coming out tonight. God bless you.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus. You, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. from beginning to the end. It will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. And Jesus, the other center, everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. And from my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. And from my heart to the heavens, Jesus, be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. And nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you.
You can feel free to be dismissed at any time. But thank you so very much, Sister Sarah. Thank you again, Sister Nicole. We will be back here Sunday morning. And my wife and I will be speaking at Brother Lomax's on Sunday. He has his 5-year anniversary. And then we will be gone for a few weeks out on up at camp and then vacation. Continue to pray for the conference. Those that are traveling, that they have safe travels. And we will be back here. Remember, if you wanted to sign up for the grief class, you can sign up through the Church Center app or tag in there with Brother Thompson or Sister Lori Marcus. So God bless you.